glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we are going to dive in, my friend, to AI. And I know we hear a lot about that in the news and artificial intelligence. So we have got someone who understands it. His name is Larry Willard. He has a master's in divinity. And also he loves to bring clarity to issues surrounding AI truth and media deception. Thank you so much, Larry, for being a part of Mark and Friends.
Glad to be with you, Donna. I'm looking forward to this discussion. It sure is important, and it's at the point right now where things change almost every other day, so it's in constant flux, but it is important that we understand all the issues behind AI.
Absolutely, so true. So, pretend I am a third grader. And you are going to explain to me what exactly is artificial intelligence.
Donna, artificial intelligence is really a lot wider than just the brand new high speed, high capacity, high capability computers. AI is really a total system. It's the system of the new chips that run the computers that store data, that retrieve it, that can do analysis in the computer, and then can send it to any number of output devices. And output devices can be anything from someone checking on your bank record somewhere, and they're just looking for text, all the way through running something like, let's just for an example, you're on the interstate highway and you want to get on and off. The new interstate highways will soon be programmed with gates that can be run and triggered remotely. That includes a lot of things which we'll get into. So AI is this high-speed computer that is capable of analyzing, collecting, retrieving, and sending out data at unbelievable speeds. You may remember back, as I do 20, 30 years ago when I first got into the computer business. In that business, we had hard drives that were capable of storing data of a megabyte, 10, 50, 100 megabytes, and so on. And then they were able to take that data and send it somewhere at a speed of about even as high as what they call a megabyte. So that's 1 million bytes per second. So Donna, when we got into the AI age, computers did not take a little jump. We now have computers that are able to collect all the data that there is from any place in the world, store it in peer-to-peer units, which means they're connected with a cable. They can store data, let's just, for as an example, on a human being, on a person, you. And Donna, they can check any records anywhere on any subject, and they can bring it and put it onto a file folder that would have everything about you. And that file folder could be the size of a Bible. In other words, a major New York phone book. That data can be collected anywhere as long as someone has access to that data and has given access on one end and they have received access on the other. So let's just talk about how fast they're able to now access data and collect it. The 10 megabyte is out. We are now talking about computers that are capable of transmitting and receiving data at a speed of about 500 trillion transactions per second. So it's not really conceivable the speed, the content, the amount of data that can be brought into a computer and it sits there as data. Well, then you have, in addition to AI's data, all of these programs that someone will write to do something with that data.
Right.
And the data sometimes can be very complicated, used very in a very complicated manner. And when I say a very complicated manner, I mean they can just, for instance, help you with problems you're having with your bank card, or problems you're having with your TV connection, or whatever. So people don't realize that these computers are programmed to do whatever the programmer decides they want to do. The number of devices that are on the outside that collect data on any possible subject, any possible person, now is so large that some of us don't realize that AI, artificial intelligence computers, run almost everything. It is not just your phone information. It is not just chat GPT. It is almost everything. If you are using some of the devices that allow you to do voice control when you select a channel on your television set, or you ask, nowadays you can ask your vacuum cleaner to clean up the living room, and it's all voice actuated. When you combine all the voice actuated devices that are there, and all the cameras that are there, and I don't know if you realize, but AI literally collects data on all these cameras that are at the top of the banks in our area. They're on the top of every light post. They're all along every highway. They're even in the lights that are on a sports field. There are devices which collect audio and visual data, and they can bring it back to a central location. All of that content is basically available, and it's all done through artificial intelligence. So you're really talking about computers that sound very much like Dr. Strangelove in movies 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is so science fiction. I mean, this has just got the Matrix all over it. It's got, you know, Odyssey 2000 and whatever that was on it. It just feels like there's just this intrusive, you know, all-powerful, all-seeing, you know, 1984 kind of a vibe to it. And, you know, you do look at all these news stories, and it's just, yeah, you're just going from one camera to the next, and these people don't know they're being recorded. And so now let's jump to the fact that what can we do to kind of protect our data, Larry?
Well, there's some very simple things we can do. Donna, it's very important that when we use all these smart devices, and you know there's so many of them, we sometimes get to that place where we think, this is so wonderful, I can sit here and yell commands here, there, and everywhere. But you have to be careful, because those commands are being collected and they're being converted into data. So voice-actuated products can now convert actual audio into text instantly. Not only can it do that, but it can actually translate it. So you could say, well, I'm going to say this in Spanish so no one knows what I'm saying. Well, nowadays we have automatic interpreters that can literally interpret as you speak at literally the same speed that you're talking. So it's very important that you shut those off when you don't want to use them. That includes both video and audio devices. Another thing is, we need to be very careful when we are putting information on some of the social media sites. We don't realize it, but Donna, I went back in into some of the professional archive computers that are on AI machines, and I asked it to find something that I had said in an interview 40 years ago. Mm. Now, you were saying, well, they didn't have AI back then, so, you know, I'm not worried about that. Well, in fact, Donna, they had it on file. Now, it's not when you use the regular Google search or, you know, DuckDuckGo or whatever, they won't have it. But the archives have everything, and they are in this AI system. So we, if you have the a chance, everyone should purge. And you, and there are, you can go online and learn how to do that. I won't explain it here. But you should purge a lot of the information that is about you, things that you've done and said, if you think that they can be used improperly. You can just tell your kids who, you know, we have a very savvy young group of children nowadays. That sometimes a kid who's 7 years old uses some of the applications on their smartphone or their iPad better than their parents. Their parents aren't even aware what they're doing. But all of that is being collected. So it's just to be very aware of what you're saying, what you're posting, and make sure that you're considering that the fact that this may be, we would say, copied, kept somewhere, and pulled out for use. It really goes on and on, is that I think a very important thing that we need to do is we need to be aware that chat systems, and there's many of them, of course, the common ones is Google's ChatGPT, but remember that when you're using chat, all the information in chat that's giving you advice, and you've heard that young kids are using it nowadays because they're depressed, or not just young kids, I guess a lot of university kids are using this kind of information. Remember that that information is not, it's not the traditional old Western worldview Christian content that they're going to be handing you. This is a general kind of advice that may be from secular sources that you wouldn't be happy with going to and telling them your whole personal story. These are not professional psychologists or psychiatrists. This is a program that does the average obvious collection of information, and then they give you back an answer. So it's very important that we always become aware that these really are programs. They're computers. They're very clever, and they're doing a lot of things. And if we had hours, we could tell you about all the things they're able to do. But it's really important that we are aware all the time that we now live in an ultimate surveillance society.
Wow, that is just amazing, Larry. And I'm just so grateful you're bringing this to our awareness. We don't want to really think about it because it's just so futuristic, but it is here now. Now, something I'm learning about this Grok and ChatGPT is that you almost train it. It begins to understand your likes, your dislikes, and then it feeds you information based on that. And I've heard that psychologically, this is very damaging because all it's going to send you is what you want to hear. To me, it's tickling ears. And I feel like that is another stress point that we need to be aware of.
You really do. And again, as I said, that these are not really what we call sentient thinking machines. These are machines that are giving you information that is based on whoever's worldview the programmer has.
Yeah.
And they can constantly collect things on you, and they can start to analyze. We know, for instance, you remember the television program years ago, Person of Interest.
Yes.
A lot of people. Well, if we think for even a second that that's somewhere in the future and it hasn't happened yet, not just the surveillance part of it, but the analysis part of it, computers can do all of that. And so you really have to watch what's going on, especially when it comes to, and this is something we're not thinking about, if you can just go to a computer and ask it for the answer to some question, well, first of all, if we start dumbing down our society because AI is giving us all the information that we think is the highest level of information available in that subject, we are mistaken. And secondly, we are going to become a dumbed down society. Everything is going to be given to us. And how will we ever generate the kind of thinking that's required by a person like you and I who came through a different education system, we know how to go back in and check whether or not the content we're being given is accurate or not. But we will get to the point where if a person has been given information all their lives and they no longer have that ability to reason and rationale using all of the kinds of thinking giftings that the average person has had all through history, now GTP is going to give you the answer. Well, you're sooner or later going to become a codependent of ChatGTP. And that codependency is not healthy. Mm-hmm. And if you start to think that ChatGTP is going to have the answer for everything you'll ever ask it, unfortunately, you're going to be misled. And of course, the way we build truth models in our own being, and you know this, Donna, you take a piece and you and I will go through and go, well, that doesn't sound right to me. We don't know why it doesn't sound right. But if you get to the point where all you do is accept what some of these AI programs give you, you're going to think that they're all that is the way we should think. You're not going to have that higher level of critical thinking that is required to just analyze whether something is true or not. And losing that ability to analyze things is part of the problem with relying on these AI programs.
You know, another scripture verse is the strong delusion that was sent to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Which I love that if, because we as the believers, the elect in Christ Jesus, you know, we have the mind of Christ. And I just feel like as believers, we are going to have to really kick it in where we're thinking and listening and understanding things from the Lord's perspective, because, you know, it's deceiving. And that's what the enemy of our soul wants to do. And we have got to know God's word even in a more intense way during these days, don't we, Larry?
You know, Donna, you've just touched on the most important dynamic. We have, as Christians, the Holy Spirit. And remember that most of the gifts related to the Holy Spirit, very many of them are related to knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You know, we can quote all the specific Bible verses that promise that to us. But the most important thing is we have, I guess, in our arsenal for understanding truth and deception, which we were warned about by the Lord, that in the last days that was going to be the dominant problem in our society. But we have something that's almost like a knockout punch our rivals do not have, and that is the power and the leading and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Who has been sent to us, he will reveal to you the truth, and so on. So it's probably, if AI continues on, I think the most important thing for all of us as Christians to do is not to shut it down, not to as we used to say way back in the days when they discovered that some of these various industry machines were going to take away jobs, so they went in with axes and kind of tore them up, broke them up, and so on. What we need to do is become even smarter than the people who are programming. So we have to become better at that game. We have to become better at analyzing what is true and what is not true. And, you know, as my father used to say, you have to don't believe anything you hear and only believe half of what you see. We're there today. If we don't take care to learn how to be clever and use the powers of the Holy Spirit, who will give us this unction, they call it the unction of the Holy Spirit. If we learn how to take this unction of the Holy Spirit, then we may not know exactly what's wrong, but we will know something is wrong that we have as Christians that the world will never have.
No, because they don't have the Spirit. Thinking another thing that would make people vulnerable is if they are, of course, don't have the Spirit, and they're empty, and they're looking for something to fill that void, that emptiness in their heart. Adam and Eve, they didn't have the Spirit walking in the garden. They had God's presence, but they had not made that choice to eat from the tree of life. So they were vulnerable. They ate from the knowledge of good and evil. And I really do see ChatGPT and all that AI as the knowledge of good and evil. And who is in control of saying what's good and what's evil? And I'm thinking of resistance. You know, how can we actively resist this kind of a basic takeover of our personhood?
Well, I think it's very important, first of all, you remember the COVID reign, mm-hmm. reign of terror. We have to remember that in the end, a lot of people lost their jobs. In the end, it took us almost 5 years to find out that everything we suspected was true is true, that messenger RNA drugs do have side effects that may be worse than just getting the COVID flu. And we have to resist in that sense. In other words, we have to get to the place where regulation includes groups who are, I mean, almost like trade unions. We all get together and we say, we are not going to do this. Mm-hmm. We will not have this computer to rule over us, if I can paraphrase. And the important part is that we just say, no, that's not for us. And we have to make sure that everything that's going on, and I suppose in a sense, whatever people think of President Trump, he at least has taken away the mandatory aspect of a lot of things that were going on. And I think what he's doing is he's trying his best to give us back freedom to say no, and freedom to carry on in the kind of culture that we thought we had, and we're just finding out that we don't have, and that an elite group of people have a whole different plan of what the future is going to look like. It is godless. It is without God. It is without the Christian virtues and all the Christian principles that we believe in. So we need to do that, and the only way to do that is to become aware and then become organized.
We're talking with Larry Willard, and he has written a book called Is That True? Discerning Truth in an Age of Deception. Averting the Death of Truth. Thank you so much, Larry, for bringing awareness to our minds and just putting into words some of the things we were feeling. And now we're able to digest this. And as always, people can go back to our website and they can listen to this Mark and Friends program again and again and pass it on to their friends. Thank you again, Larry, for sharing with us and being a part of Mark and Friends.
It's been great to be with you, Donna. I look forward to sometime down in the future to talk a little more on the subject.
Thanks for listening. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media.